Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Ruth, chapter 1, 15 through 18. The book of Ruth, in these classic verses, we hear God's voice that reminds us that he will never leave us or forsake us. Listen now to God's word to you today. In the day when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judea went to live in the country of Moab. He and his wife...
It's 50. Start 50.
Oh, 15th year. I'm sorry. So she said, "See your sister-in-law go back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and as well, if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. Here ends the first scripture reading.
Well, I hope you're all excited to be here this Sunday morning, just because it's another time that we can gather together and worship God together. One thing that we are going to talk about, and the main topic that we're going to see, which David touched upon briefly with the children's sermon, is all throughout Scripture we see God's faithfulness reappearing again and again. And every now and then we just need to be reminded that God is faithful. And not that we don't know that, not that we've never heard that. It's just helpful every now and then to be reminded of that. And so today in chapter 46 of Genesis, we're getting closer and closer to the end. Chapter 46 in Genesis, we see another time in Jacob's life when God reminds him of his faithfulness. So if you've been paying attention these last number of weeks, I didn't say Joseph, I said Jacob. That's right. We're looking at Jacob, who is Joseph's father, the father of Benjamin, the father of the other 10 brothers, the one who is Isaac's son, the grandson of Abraham. So in this scripture, we see Jacob one more time, and it's kind of the last time before he dies. So Jacob's the one who was called, if you remember, Israel. The nation of Israel has their name because of this one person in Scripture. And what we're going to see is one last time God speaking to him, just like God spoke to him in his dream of the angels ascending and descending on the ladder. And this time he meets with God at Beersheba, the same place that his father Isaac met with God, the same place that his grandfather Abraham met with God, and it is in that place that he's reminded of God's faithfulness. It kind of reminds me of this church. We are kind of like a Beersheba, right? And even though maybe your father or parents didn't come to church here, or maybe your grandparents didn't come here, some of you, they did, right? For some of you, this is a place where generations have attended. You come to this place to experience the presence of the Lord God Almighty. That's what Jacob did. He went back to Beersheba, the place where his father, the place where his grandfather was able to experience the living God in a very tangible, real way. And so once again, Jacob hears God's voice and is able to proclaim his faithfulness. So this past week, man, we had so many different opportunities to proclaim God's faithfulness. After church this past Sunday, a week ago, right? We had our baptism and our rededications. Four people rededicated their lives, and one person was baptized. And then we had a really, really sweet time afterwards of rededicating John Fulton with a pitcher of water. I didn't pour it over his head. I was so tempted. I really wanted to. But it was a really, really sweet time when we were all able to gather around and just pray over him so that we could proclaim loudly, you know what? God is faithful. God is faithful. We all knew that. We all know that God is faithful. But don't we have to be reminded of that every now and then? We are reminded of it then. And then when the Egyptians came, and they told us about the time when 65 churches were burned to the ground in a day or two, not too long ago, just a few days ago, how in the last 4 years there have been two revolutions that have turned the country upside down. And to imagine what would it be like to live in a country where as a Christian, you may want to doubt a little bit. Is God really that faithful when your church is being burned to the ground? Is this really the hand of the Almighty who's leading us and guiding us? And it was great to hear them as they sat up here and said, God continues to be faithful. And in the midst of their church burning down, instead of looking for retribution, instead of looking for vengeance, what did they do? They began a time of reconciliation, and one of them said that a big part of that reconciliation was, you know, we had seen this movie called Amish Grace. Anyone know about that? Right? Not too far away from here. So all of that, you see how our lives as Christians are so intricately woven together. And we're reminded again of God's amazing grace. We're reminded again of God's faithfulness. And then last night we had a zoo of 19 kids in Fellowship Hall for our first parent night out. Our max was 20 registered. One kid had a sleepover at someone else's house. So we reached our limit, and so we had to cut off the registrations, which is a good problem, right? Once again, in the midst, just popping out of the blue, we see that God remains faithful to us as a church, even in a program that maybe many of us knew nothing about, right? We see how God remains faithful to us as individuals and also as a church as well. So every now and then, it's nice to hear how God is faithful. And I don't care who you are. I know it's nice to hear God say, I love you. I want good for your life. I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that good things happen in your life. And that's exactly where Jacob found himself today. Imagine Jacob. He's lived 18 or so years thinking that one of his sons, okay, his favorite son, was no longer alive. And he thought he may have just lost his youngest son, Benjamin. And the other 10 sons were gone too, but then they come back and say, your son is alive. Boy, that's good news. And so he starts heading into Egypt. And today, as we gather together, thinking of how this family is about to be reunited, we gather in this place of worship where generations before us have gathered as well. Where generations before us have been reminded of God's faithfulness in their lives. And through our hymns and through our prayers and through the reading of Scripture, we can be equipped and be ready to leave this church confident of God's faithfulness. That's the purpose of today, is that you leave the church knowing that God is faithful. No matter what's happening in your life, no matter what's happening around us, and no matter what's happening in the world. Let's read about God's faithfulness. Genesis chapter 46, verses 1 through 7. Genesis 46, verses 1 through 7. When Israel, what's another name for Israel? Jacob, right, good. Y'all with me? All right, let's try that again. Now, when Israel, what's another name for Israel? Jacob, thank you. When Jacob, or Israel, set out on his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to the God of his father, Isaac. God spoke to Israel in visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. Jacob said, here I am. And then God said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make of you a great nation there. I myself will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also bring you up again, and Joseph's own hand shall close your eyes. And so then Jacob did set out from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob, their little ones, their wives, and the wagons that Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they also took their livestock and the goods that they had acquired in the land of Canaan, and they came into Egypt, Jacob and all his offspring with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, all his offspring he brought with him into Egypt. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we do ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be worthy and acceptable in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer, and you are so faithful. For it's in your name that we pray. Amen. So I guess I do feel a little strange feeling like I have to prove to you God's faithfulness, because when I look out and I look in each one of your faces, I know any one of you could come up here behind the pulpit and tell a story in your life or a whole number of stories in your lives where God has proved faithful to you. So I don't feel like I have to prove anything to you today. I think what I'm doing today is just kind of reminding us, right? Every now and then it's good to get nudged and reminded that God is faithful. Our passage in Genesis, we find with Jacob, he hears literally God's voice. Remember last week I said, you know, with Joseph, we never have God come down and grab him by the scruff of his neck. We never have God kind of intersect in his life and say, Joseph, here I am. Well, that happens all the time with Jacob, doesn't it? With Jacob's ladder, right? Thanks, David. I appreciate that response. With Jacob's ladder, when he wrestles with God, and now once again in Jacob's life, we find God concretely, tangibly speaking in his life. So this isn't unusual for Jacob. Unusual for Joseph, but not so unusual for Jacob. And he just simply reminds him that he's going to be faithful. Think of all the many times that Jacob has felt this. When he did have that dream of the ladder. When he did wrestle with God. In his marriage with Rachel and Leah. And now, in the good news, when he heard that that Joseph was still alive. Think of how that news alone must have affected him. But Jacob, in this specific situation, has a reason why he needs to hear God's faithfulness. To remember the promise to Abraham and the promise to Isaac was that I will not only establish for you generations of descendants, but I will also place you in a land that I promised to you. That's the land where Jacob was living, right? Now, all of a sudden, without hearing God's voice until now, but up to now, all of a sudden, Joseph says, Dad, come and join me down in Egypt. Now, there's something wrong with this picture because that's not what God said. God did not tell me, he didn't tell my dad, and he didn't tell my grandfather that the promised land is Egypt. He told me that the promised land is here in Canaan. This is where our family's supposed to grow and thrive and fill the earth. But now you're telling me to go down here? You know, God has been faithful to me before. He's going to pull this famine out as well. So maybe I'm just going to stay here. I would think he's a little conflicted. I would think before he left the promised land, something had to happen to convince him that he needed to go down. And so there we find him. We don't hear about all that interaction. But in chapter 46, we see that he begins to make his way down toward Egypt. And it's not just him. Did you read all those details? It's all of his livestock, all of his goods, all of his sons and his sons' sons and all of his daughters and his sons' daughters. You know, the whole list of folks, everyone picked up and went down toward Egypt. And that was not what God had originally told him, right? So he needs to be reminded, if anyone does, that this was okay, that this was part of God's plan, that God will remain faithful to him, even though he may be, in the back of his mind, maybe disobeying God by leaving the land that he had settled and that he had been promised. So when God's words come to him now in chapter 46, it's just a little bit of a reminder. And we find God say to him, "Jacob, Jacob," look at the verses that we read. Verse 2. He comes to him in a vision by night. That should sound familiar. That's happened two times before with the ladder and also with the angel that rests with him. And then when God identifies himself, he says, and Jacob asks, "Who are you?" Remember that? Just like Samuel asked when God came to him at night, "Who are you?" And God said, "I am God." The same answer that we're going to hear that's given to Moses. The same answer that we're going to hear also when it's given to Samuel later on. God identifies himself as the God of Abraham, but he also says specifically, "I am the God of your father." So again, he pulls on those strings of, listen, I am the same God that's been with Isaac. I'm the same God that was with Abraham as well. And then he says those four words that we hear peppered all throughout Scripture in verse 3. "Do not be afraid," right? So maybe, not maybe, I'm almost sure in the back of his mind, he wasn't sure if this was the right thing. And God says, "Don't be afraid. Go down into Egypt. And when you go down into Egypt, don't worry, because I will be there with you as well." And once he hears God's words, we find every single one of his fears, every single one of his anxieties, every single one of his preoccupations covered by the words of God in these scriptures. We know, and it reminds me a little bit of our assurance of pardon. We know God forgives our sins, right? But every Sunday when I come up here, or Brett does, we just need to be reminded. It's nice to be reminded that no matter what has happened this past week, no matter how many times we failed, or no matter how good our week has gone, man, God still loves us, and he still forgives us. Likewise, Jacob knew that God was with him and his family since he could ever remember. And he knew that God was going to take care of him, but it was just nice to hear it again. And so once he hears that, then in verse 5, we read that Jacob then sets out and heads toward Egypt. Once he leaves Beersheba, as we mentioned before, the place that had been the same place that his father and his grandfather had met God. How important it is for us to hear over and over again of God's faithfulness. You know, every Sunday when we gather here, we hear about the good news that Jesus has won over death, that Jesus has won over suffering, and that God has consistently been faithful in Scripture and will always be faithful to us in life. We hear that every Sunday. And we can use Jesus, our Savior, as that example of how God has been faithful. We know that even yet as we were sinners, still God died for each one of us. So hearing this good news should allow us to be uplifted and edified and convinced of God's actions in our lives as we go out into the world, out of the sanctuary, and we can go out being secure and confident. We could even go out with a smile on our face because we know how the story's going to end. We know that God's going to win. But you know, we live in a world that doesn't know the end of that story. We live in a time-delay world which doesn't know about God's continual faithfulness and that God will win in the end. Our responsibility then is to introduce God's real time, which announces to us that Christ has risen from the dead now, that we have victory now in Jesus, and that God's faithfulness does endure to all generations because we are people who benefit from that, just being able to worship here in this space. We know the generations that have come before us and have been able to worship here as well. So we're just one of many along that long line. And Scripture is filled with those assurances. The first Scripture that we read with Ruth and Naomi, I had the most terrifying experience that I've had in a long time this past Thursday. I spoke at chapel at Lancaster Mennonite. It was terrifying. Because there were like 700 kids looking at me. And if that's not terrifying, I don't know what is. And also, I didn't want to embarrass Bethany, right? I mean, that was a big part of it as well. And I spoke about these words in that chapel about how the consistency of God's word continues to ring true and continues to remind us that God is always faithful. Because Ruth tells Naomi, and these are the words of God, right? Wherever you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Where you die, there I will die, and there I will be buried as well. That's God speaking to us. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, we read of how our faith in God is reinforced every single day, especially here in Lancaster County, because we can see the world that God has created and be able to say, thank you. Thank you for being faithful to us. Now, this past year, our country has felt God's presence and faithfulness like never before. Does that make sense to you when you see what's happening around us and in our country? This country has felt the most suffering, maybe, and the most division that we've felt in many generations. And yet somehow I can stand up here and say that we have felt God's faithfulness like never before. It makes sense to me when I see the community of Tulsa rally together in the face of a senseless tragedy, even when Charlotte is on fire. I saw a headline that asked the question, why did Charlotte riot when Tulsa prayed? How can we not think of God's faithfulness to our country as we look to this nation's history and the men and the women who have served our country with honor and with service? We know that God has been faithful when we just look at that example as well. So God has been faithful to our country. God has been faithful to us. And we can never, never give up, because rather, because of God's faithfulness, we can go on just like Jacob went on. But when I look out in the congregation, I wonder, what if our history were a little different? You know why Presbyterians came in this region of the world? They were invited by William Penn. You know why? You know why Presbyterians were invited in this area of Pennsylvania? Because there are so many Mennonites and Quakers that there's no one to defend them. It's true. It's true. Ask Michael Wilson. That's what he tells me, and that's what I'm saying. So here we were, these Scotch-Irish Reformed Presbyterians with our guns, right? Ready to defend. It's true. I'm not making this up, folks. At least if I am, then yell at Michael Wilson, because I'm taking this history from him. So we have never really experienced a time, at least here, when as a people, as a group, that we've been downtrodden, right? That we've been kind of set apart and not allowed to do certain things. We've done that to other people, Presbyterians, Reformed Dutch folks, when they got a hold of Anabaptists back in many, many years ago. We did not do kind things to them. We even killed a number of them. That's in the Mennonite history. That's in the Dutch Reformed history as well. That's part of our history. So we have, as Presbyterians, been front and center. We've been kind of the strong folks this whole time. But what if our history were different? What if that wasn't our history? What if you could point to your great-great-great-grandfather who had come over on this country as a slave with his hands shackled to a ship, so that if that ship went down, he would have gone down with it? Or what if you, as a teenager growing up, could not drink from a water fountain, eat in a restaurant, go to the same schools? What if that were your history? What would that have looked like? How would you be different today if that were your history? Or what if today, as a father with a young son, you have to have that talk about how do you act, or how do you interact with a policeman I've never had to talk to my daughter about that. Not because my daughters are any better than any other kids. They get in trouble. I won't tell you about it, but they get in trouble. But I don't have to explain to them, this is how you interact. Because they're treated differently. Has God been faithful to the blacks of this country? Has God been faithful? And that's a fair question, right? It's been a tough life. I can't answer that question. I don't think anyone in this room can answer that question. I think the only people who can answer that question are people of faith within the black community. And what I hear in North Florida, what I hear in Tulsa, what I hear in other areas of our country is that they seem to think so. I'm not sure if I were in their shoes, I would think so. But they seem to think so. They continue to uplift the faithfulness of God in their community and in their lives. In Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 23, we read the prophet Jeremiah, and if anyone in Scripture had an opportunity to doubt the faithfulness of God, it was this weeping prophet, right? Jeremiah, who never got traction in his message. But what did he say in chapter 3, verse 23? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. And he goes on and he says, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That's in Lamentations. So I pray and I ask that as we remember the faithfulness of God in our own lives, and boy, can we point to so many examples. I know I can. I know I can. That we would also recognize that God has been faithful not just to us, but to all of those whom He has chosen, to all of those that He has created with that same mud and that same clay that was created on the day of creation in Genesis. May God bless us and keep us as we are reminded of God's faithfulness when we leave these doors and know that God has been faithful to all. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we do come before you now and we give you thanks and praise because you are so faithful. You are so faithful. And we recognize our position and we recognize that you have allowed us to live certain lives. And God, as we were exposed this past week to other people to whom you have been faithful, and just what a different life they live, what a different reality they have in which to live out their faith, I pray that when we leave these doors, we can leave smiling, knowing that you have blessed us, but also be a blessing to others, knowing that you have blessed them as well. We pray this now in Jesus' loving name. Amen.